made me remember how it was between us years ago. There had been a time when Chris hadn't been so formal with me, a time when he had looked at me with affection. He'd stopped because I told him to. He wasn't my father, would never be my father. I knew I was just the baggage that came along with him loving my mother. I didn't need him to pretend that he gave a shit about me. Instead, it seemed, he had pretended that he didn't care. I took his hand, then pulled him into a quick hold, slapping him firmly but gently across the shoulders before releasing him. He held on, and I froze, my gaze darting to Ava. She pretended to pour an imaginary drink for me, then retreated to get me a real one. Chris let go, stepping back and clearing his throat. His eyes behind his gold-framed spectacles were shiny and wet.
"Casual Tuesday?"
he asked gruffly, looking at my jeans and t-shirt.
"You work too hard, especially with such a cute dog and beautiful wife waiting at home for you."
"Your wife is listening to you, Gideon. She believes you. I'm listening, and I believe you. My stepfather believed me, too, and it was costing him. I could see the pain he was living with, recognized it from the times I'd felt that way myself. Separation from Ava felt almost like living death, and our relationship was still new. Chris had been married to my mother for over 2 decades. "I had an appointment with my therapist," I told him. The ordinary words sounded foreign to my ears, like something a mentally unstable person oversharing would say. His throat worked on a hard swallow.
"You're seeing someone. That's good, Gideon. I'm glad to hear that."
Ava appeared with a glass of wine in her hand. She passed it to me, tipping her chin up to offer her mouth. I kissed her, holding my lips to hers for a long, sweet moment.
"Are you hungry?"
she asked when I let her go.
"Starved."
"Come on, then."
I checked her out as she preceded us into the kitchen, admiring the way her capris hugged her lush ass. She was barefoot, with her blonde hair swinging softly around her shoulders. Aside from something glossy on her lips, she was barefaced and breathtaking. She'd set us up to eat at the island, putting Chris and me on the side with bar stools, while she stood opposite us and ate standing up. She was so casual and relaxed, as was the atmosphere she created. 3 pillar candles fragranced the air with something citrusy and spicy. Dinner was a seared steak salad with gorgonzola, sliced red onions, red and yellow sweet peppers, and a tangy vinaigrette. Crispy bread soaked in garlic butter stayed warm in a napkin-lined basket, while a decanted bottle of red wine waited to fill stemless glasses. I watched her as she swayed to the music while she ate and chatted with Chris about the Outer Banks beach house. I remembered for a moment how the penthouse had been before she'd started moving in. It was where I lived, but I couldn't say it was home. On some level, I must have known she was coming when I bought the place. It had waited for her, as I had, needing her to bring life into it.
"Your sister is coming with me to the dinner tomorrow night, Gideon," Chris said. "She's very excited."
Ava frowned. "What dinner?" His brows rose.
"Your husband is being honored for his generosity."
"Really?"
Her eyes got big, and she did a little hop.
"Are you giving a speech?"
Amused, I said. "That's usually expected, yes."
"Yay!"
She jumped and clapped like a cheerleader.
"I love hearing you speak."
For once, I thought I might even like doing it, considering that just the thought put a fuck-me gleam in her eyes.
"And I can't wait to see Ireland," she said. Is it black tie?
Yes.
Double yay! You in a tux giving a speech.
She rubbed her hands together. Chris laughed. Clearly your wife is your biggest fan. She winked at him.
You better believe it.
I savored my wine before swallowing. Our social calendar should be synced to your phone, Angel. Ava's smile faded into a frown.
I don't think it is.
I'll take a look. Settling back in his chair, Chris held his glass close to his chest and sighed. That was wonderful, Ava. Thank you. She waved that off.
It was salad, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
My gaze moved from her to my stepfather. I debated saying anything, stewed over it. Things were fine the way they were. Change sometimes fucked things up that were good before. We should do this more often. The words were out of my mouth before I realized it. He stared at me, then looked down into his glass. He cleared his throat. I would like that, Gideon. He glanced at me. I'll take you up on the offer whenever you like. I nodded. Sliding off my stool, I grabbed his plate and my own and carried them over to the sink. Ava joined me, handing me her plate. Our gazes met, and she smiled. Then she turned to Chris.
Let's open another bottle of wine.
We're ahead of schedule by 2 weeks. Barring any unforeseen events, we should be finished early.
Excellent. Standing, I shook the project manager's hand. You're doing good work, Leo. Opening the newest Crosswinds resort earlier than planned offered myriad benefits, not the least of which was combining the necessary final inspections with some playtime with my wife.
Thank you, Mr. Cross.
He gathered up his materials and straightened. Leo Eigner was a stout man, with thinning blonde hair and a big smile. A hard worker, he stuck rigidly to timelines and sped them up whenever he could.
Congratulations, by the way. I heard that you got married recently.
I did, yes. Thank you. I walked with him to the door of my office, then glanced at my watch when he left. Ava was coming to the Crossfire at noon to have lunch with Mark and his fiancée, Stephen. I wanted to catch her while she was close. I needed her opinion before I proceeded with a possibility I'd been entertaining all day.
Mr. Cross.
Scott stood in the doorway, intercepting me on the way to my desk. I shot him a questioning look.
Deanna Johnson has been waiting at reception for half an hour. What would you like me to tell Cheryl?
I thought of Ava. Tell her to send Ms. Johnson in. While I waited, I texted my wife. Save me some time before you leave the Crossfire. I need to ask you something.
An in-person meeting? She texted back. Are you thinking about my butt and boobs again?
Always, I replied. That was how Deanna found me, smiling at my phone. I looked up as she walked in, all amusement gone in a flash. She was dressed in a white pantsuit with a chunky gold choker around her neck. It was clear she'd taken care with her appearance. Her dark hair hung in waves around her face and shoulders, and her makeup had been applied with drama in mind. She walked toward my desk. Ms. Johnson. I set my phone aside and settled into my chair before she sat down. I don't have much time. Her mouth tightened. She tossed her purse onto the nearest chair and remained standing.
You promised me an exclusive on your wedding photos.
I did, yes. And since I remembered what I'd extracted from her in exchange, I hit the control that closed my office door. She set her hands on my desk and leaned over it.
I gave you all the information about that sex tape of Ava and Brett Klein. I held up my end of the deal. while you convinced Corinne to give you what you needed to write a book about me. Something passed through her eyes. Did you think I was bluffing during the interview? I asked evenly, leaning back and tapping my fingertips together. That I didn't know the ghostwriter is you.
That doesn't have anything to do with the deal we made.
Doesn't it? Deanna pushed away from the desk in a violent explosion of movement.
God, you smug son of a bitch! You don't give a shit about anyone but yourself.
So you've said. Which raises the question, why would you trust me to follow through?
Total stupidity. I thought you were actually sincere when you apologized.
I was sincere. I'm very sorry I fucked you. Fury and embarrassment colored her face.
I hate you, she hissed.
I'm aware. You're certainly free to do so, but I suggest you think twice before pursuing a vendetta against me or my wife. I stood. You're going to walk out the door, and I'll forget you exist. Again. You don't want me thinking about you, Deanna. You won't like the direction my thoughts would take.
I could have made a fortune with that sex tape, she accused. And they were going to pay me good money to write that book. Your wedding photos would have made me a mint. Now what have I got? You've taken everything away from me. You fucking owe me.
I arched a brow. They don't want you to write the book anymore? How interesting. She straightened, visibly pulling herself together.
Corinne didn't know about us.
Let's be clear. There was no us. My smartphone chimed with a text from Raoul, letting me know that he was nearly at the crossfire with Ava. I moved to the coat rack. You wanted to fuck, and I fucked you. If you wanted me, well, I'm not responsible for your exaggerated expectations.
You don't take responsibility for anything. You just use people.
You used me, too, to get laid, to try to pad your bank account. I shrugged into my jacket. As for what I owe you for your financial losses, my wife suggested I offer you a job. Her dark eyes widened.
You're kidding.
That was my response, too. I retrieved my smartphone and slid it into my pocket. But she was quite serious, so I've made the offer. If you're interested, Scott can put you together with someone in human resources. I headed toward the door. You can see yourself out. Going down to the lobby was totally unnecessary. Ava had lunch plans, and the few words I could trade with her wouldn't amount to a conversation of any importance. But I wanted to see her, touch her for just a moment. Remind myself that the man I'd been when I'd screwed women like Deanna no longer existed. Never again would the scent of sex turn my stomach and make me scrub my skin nearly raw in the shower. I was passing through the security turnstiles in the lobby when Raoul escorted Ava through the revolving door, then retreated to his post outside. My wife wore a wine-colored jumpsuit with sky-high heels so delicate I couldn't see how they stayed on. Her tanned shoulders were bared by thin straps, and gold hoops dangled from her ears. Sunglasses partially hid her face, drawing the eye to the plump mouth that had ringed my cock just hours ago. She carried a nude clutch in her hand and walked across the golden-veined marble with a naturally seductive sway to her hips. Heads swiveled as she walked by. Some of those gazes lingered to admire her ass. What would they think if they knew that deep inside her she was still creamy with my cum? That her nipples were tender from the suction of my mouth, and the plump lips of her perfect little cunt were swollen from the friction of my cock sliding through them. I knew what I thought. Mine. all mine. As if she felt the heat of that silent demand, her head turned sharply, catching me coming toward her. Her lips parted. I watched her chest lift and fall with a quick intake of breath. Same here, Angel. Like a punch in the gut every time.
Ace.
Catching her slender waist in both hands, I pulled her into me and pressed a kiss to her forehead, breathing in the scent of her perfume. Angel. This is a nice surprise, she murmured, leaning into me. Are you heading out? Just wanted to see you. She pulled back, her eyes bright with pleasure. You've got it real bad for me. It's highly contagious. Caught it from you. Oh, did you? Her laughter flowed over me in a warm rush of love.
There's the big man himself, Stephen Ellison said, coming up beside us. Congratulations, you two.
Stephen.
Ava turned from me and offered the brawny redhead a hug. He caught her in an embrace that lifted her feet from the floor.
Marriage looks good on you.
He released her and shook my hand. You too. It feels good, I said. Stephen grinned.
I can't wait. Mark's kept me waiting for years. You can't keep kicking my ass about that, Mark said, appearing next to us.
He shook my hand, too.
Mr. Cross, congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you joining us for lunch? Stephen asked.
I wasn't planning on it, no.
You're welcome to. The more the merrier. We're heading to Bryant Park Grill.
I glanced at Ava. She'd pushed her sunglasses up on top of her head and eyed me expectantly. She gave a little nod of encouragement.
I've got a lot to catch up on, I said, which wasn't a lie. I was 2 days behind. Considering I needed to be ahead before we left for our honeymoon, I'd planned on eating in and working.
You're the boss, Ava said. You can play hooky if you want to.
You're a bad influence, Mrs. Cross.
She linked her arm with mine and pulled me toward the door.
You love it.
I held back, glancing at Mark.
I know you're busy, he said, but it would be nice if you could come along. I want to talk to you both about something.
With a nod, I agreed. We exited out to the street, immediately hit with the heat of the day and the sounds of the city. Raoul waited at the curb with the limo, his gaze catching mine before he opened the door for Ava. A glare turned my head, drawing my attention to the telephoto lens of a camera peering at us from a car parked across the street. I pressed a kiss to Ava's temple before she slid into the back. She glanced at me, delighted and surprised. I didn't explain. She'd asked for more photos of us to combat the upcoming release of Corinne's book. It was no hardship to show my affection for her, regardless of whether that damned tell-all ever saw the light of day. It was a short drive to Bryant Park. In moments, we were taking the steps up from the street, and I was taking a trip back in time, remembering when Ava and I had fought in this very location. She'd seen a photo of me with Magdalena, a woman I considered a longtime family friend, but who was rumored to be my lover. I'd seen a photo of Ava with Carrie, a man she loved like a brother, but who was rumored to be her live-in paramour. We had both been crazed with jealousy, our relationship too new and stunted by too many secrets between us. I was already obsessed with her, my world tilting on its axis to accommodate her. Even in her fury, she'd looked at me with such love and accused me of not knowing it when I saw it. But I did know. I did see. It terrified me as nothing ever had. And it gave me hope, for the first time in my life. She glanced at me as we approached the ivy-covered entrance to the restaurant, and I could see she remembered as well. We'd been here more recently, too, when Brett Klein had tried to win her back. She was already mine then, my rings on her fingers, our vows exchanged. We'd been stronger than before, but now nothing could shake us. We were anchored deep. "I love you," she said, as we followed Mark and Stephen through the door. The sounds of a popular restaurant inundated us. The clang of silverware against china, the hum of multiple conversations, the barely discernible piped music, and the bustle of a busy kitchen. My mouth curved. "I know." We were seated immediately, and a server stopped by right away to take our drink order.
"Should we order champagne?" Stephen asked.
Mark shook his head.
"Come on, you know I have to go back to work."
I held my wife's hand beneath the table. "Ask again when he's working for me. We'll celebrate then." Stephen grinned.
"You got it."
We placed our drink order, flat and sparkling water and one soda, and the server took off to fill them.
"So here's the thing," Mark began, straightening in his seat. "Part of the reason Ava quit was because of the Landcorp proposal."
She preempted him. Her mouth curved in a cat-that-ate-the-canary smile. "Ryan Landon offered you a job." His eyes widened.
"How'd you know?"
She looked at me, then back at him. "You're not taking it, are you?"
"No."
Mark sat back, studied us both.
"It would have been a lateral move. Nothing like the bump I'll get with Cross Industries. More than that, though, I remembered you telling me that there's bad blood between Landon and Cross. I looked it up after you quit. Knowing the background, the whole thing wasn't sitting right. Him declining to work with us, then trying to poach me right after."
"Could be he just wants you, without the agency," Ava said. Stephen nodded.
"That's what I said."
As he would, I thought, because he believed in his partner. But it appeared Mark knew better. Ava glanced at me. I clearly saw the "I told you so" in her gaze. I squeezed her hand.
"You don't believe that," Mark countered, proving us both right.
"No," she agreed. "I don't. I'll be honest, I baited them. Told them Gideon and I are very fond of you and look forward to working with you again. I wanted to see if they'd bite. I figured if it was a great offer, I was doing you a favor. And if it wasn't, no harm, no foul." He frowned.
"But why would you do that? Don't you want me at Cross Industries?"
"Of course we do, Mark," I interjected. Ava was honest with them. "I was testing the waters," she said. "I debated saying something to you, but I didn't want you to feel awkward if he offered you a great job that you might seriously consider taking."
"So what do you do now?" Stephen asked.
"Now?" Ava shrugged. "Gideon and I are planning a vow renewal ceremony and then taking off for a long honeymoon. Ryan Landon isn't a problem that's going away anytime soon. He'll be around, doing his thing. I just won't underestimate him. And Mark is going to start a great new job with Cross Industries." Ava glanced at me, and I knew. Like all of my other battles, Landon wasn't going to be something I took care of on my own anymore. My wife would be there, doing what she could for me, fighting the good fight. Mark's smile flashed white from within the frame of his goatee.
"Sounds good to me."
"Do you want to play naughty secretary again?" Ava whispered. Her hand was in mine, her other hand cupping my biceps as we entered my office. I glanced at her, enjoying the come-on, and saw the warm laughter in her eyes.
"I do have to work sometime today," I said dryly.
She winked and released me, dropping dutifully into one of the chairs facing my desk.
"How can I be of service, Mr. Cross?"
I was smiling as I hung my jacket on the coat rack.
"What do you think about me asking Chris to stand with me at our wedding?"
I turned just in time to see her surprise. She blinked at me.
"Really?"
"Thoughts?"
Sitting back, she crossed her legs.
"I'd like to hear yours before I give you mine."
I joined her in the chair beside her, rather than taking a seat behind my desk. Ava was my partner, my best friend. We would deal with this and everything else side by side.
After Rio, I was going to ask Arnaldo, once I discussed it with you.
"I'd be okay with that," she said, and I could see she meant it. "It's a decision you should make for yourself and not for me."
"He understands what we have together, and that it's good for both of us."
She smiled.
"I'm glad."
"Me too." I rubbed my jaw. "But after last night..."
"Which part of last night?"
"Dinner with Chris.
It got me thinking. Things have changed, and there was something Dr. Peterson said. I just..."
She reached over and took my hand. I searched for the right words.
"I want someone who knows everything to be standing with me when you come down the aisle.
I don't want there to be any pretense. Not for something this important. When we face each other and say our vows again, I need that to be... real."
"Oh, Gideon."
She slipped out of her chair, crouching beside me at my knee. Her eyes were wet and luminous, like a stormy sky just after a cleansing rain.
"You beautiful man,"
she breathed.
"You don't even know how romantic you are."
I cupped her face, my thumbs brushing over the tears that slid down her cheeks.
"Don't cry. I can't stand it."
She caught my wrists and surged up, pressing her mouth to mine.
"I can't believe I'm this happy,"
she murmured, her lips whispering the words against my skin.
"It doesn't seem real sometimes, like I'm dreaming. And I'm going to wake up and realize I'm still on the floor in the lobby, looking at you for the first time, and imagining all this because I want you so badly."
I pulled her up and onto my lap, holding her, burying my face in her neck. She could always say what I couldn't. Her hands ran through my hair and over my back.
"Chris will be delighted."
Squeezing my eyes shut, I held her tighter.
"You did this."
"She made everything possible. She made me possible."
"Did I?"
She laughed softly, pulling back to touch my face with gentle fingertips.
"It's all you, Ace. I'm just the lucky girl who gets a front row seat."
Marriage suddenly didn't seem like enough to safeguard what she meant to me. Why wasn't there something more binding than a mere piece of paper that gave me the right to call her my wife? Vows were a promise, but what I needed was a guarantee that every day of my life would have her in it. I wanted my heart to beat in rhythm with hers and stop when hers did. Inextricably entwined. So I would never live even a moment without her. She kissed me again, softly, sweetly, her lips so gentle.
"I love you."
I would never tire of hearing that, never stop needing to hear it. Words, as Dr. Peterson said, that needed to be spoken and heard. I love you. More tears fell.
God, I'm a mess.
She kissed me again.
And you have to work, but you can't stay late. I'm going to have fun helping you into your tux. And out of it.
I let her go when she slid away and stood, but I couldn't take my eyes off her. She crossed the room and disappeared into the bathroom. I sat there, not sure I had the strength to stand yet. She weakened my knees, made my pulse race too hard and fast.
Gideon!
My mother pushed into my office, Scott hot on her heels.
I need to talk to you.
I rose to my feet and gave a nod to Scott. He retreated, closing the door. The warmth from Ava bled away, leaving me feeling empty and cold as I faced my mother. She wore dark jeans that fit her like a second skin and a loose shirt she'd tucked in at the waist. Her long black hair was pulled back in a ponytail, and her face was bare. Most who saw her would simply see a stunning woman who looked younger than her years. I knew her to be as worn and weary as Chris was. No makeup, no jewelry. It wasn't like her. This is a surprise, I said, moving into position behind my desk. What brings you into the city?
I just left Corinne.
She marched right up to my desk and remained standing, much as Deanna had only hours before her.
She's in pieces over that interview you gave yesterday. Completely destroyed. You have to go see her. Talk to her.
I stared at her, unable to comprehend the way her mind worked. Why would I do that?
For God's sake, she snapped,
looking at me like I'd lost my mind.
You need to apologize. You said some very hurtful things.
I told the truth, which is likely more than can be said about the book she's publishing.
She didn't know you had a history with that woman, that ghostwriter. She told her editor she couldn't work with that person as soon as she found out.
I don't care who writes the book. A different author won't change the fact that Corinne's violating my privacy and putting something out in the world with the potential to hurt my wife. Her chin lifted.
I can't even talk about your wife, Gideon. I'm upset. No, I'm furious that you would get married without your family, your friends. Doesn't that tell you anything? That you had to do something so important without the blessing of the people who love you?
Are you implying that no one would have approved? My arms crossed. That's certainly not true, but even if it were, choosing someone to spend your life with isn't decided with a majority rule. Ava and I married privately because it was intimate and personal and didn't need to be shared.
But you shared the news with the world before you shared it with your family. I can't believe you could be so thoughtless and insensitive. You need to make things right, she said vehemently. You have to be responsible for the pain you inflict on others. I didn't raise you this way. I can't tell you how disappointed I am.
I caught movement behind her and saw Ava fill the doorway of the bathroom, her face hard with rage, her hands clenched into fists at her sides. I gave her a curt shake of my head, my gaze narrowing with warning. She'd fought this battle enough for me. It was my turn, and I was finally ready. I hit the controls to opaque the glass. You don't get to lecture me about inflicting pain or feeling disappointed, mother. Her head snapped back as if I'd slapped her face.
Don't take that tone with me.
You knew what was done to me, and you did nothing.
We're not talking about this again.
She slashed her hand through the air.
When have we ever talked about it? I bit out. I told you, but at no point were you open to discussing it.
Don't make this my fault,
I was raped.
The words lashed out and hung in the air, sharp as a blade and raw. My mother jerked back. Ava reached blindly for the door jamb and gripped it hard. Taking a deep breath to regain a modicum of control, I drew strength from my wife's presence. I was raped, I said again, my voice calmer, steadier. For close to a year, every week, a man you invited into your home fondled me, sodomized me, over and over again.
Don't!
She breathed harshly, her chest heaving.
Don't say those ugly, awful things!
It happened, repeatedly, while you were only a few rooms away. He'd be nearly panting with excitement when he showed up. He'd stare at me with this sick gleam in his eyes. And you couldn't see it. Refused to see it.
That's a lie!
Fury burned through me, made me restless with the need to move. But I held my ground, my gaze moving to Ava. This time, she nodded at me. What's the lie, Mother? That I was raped, or that you chose to ignore it?
Stop saying that, she snapped, straightening. I took you to be examined. I tried to find the proof.
Because my word wasn't enough?
You were a disturbed child. You lied about everything. Anything. The most obvious things. That gave me some control. I had no power over anything in my life, aside from the words that came out of my mouth. And I was supposed to just magically divine what was truth and what was a lie?
She leaned forward, taking the offensive.
You were seen by two doctors. You wouldn't let the one anywhere near you.
And have another man touch me there? Can you even grasp how terrifying that thought was to me?
You let Dr. Lucas?
Ah, yes. Dr. Lucas. I smiled coldly. Where did you get his name, Mother? From the man molesting me? Or from your doctor, who was overseeing his dissertation? Either way, he steered you right toward his brother-in-law, knowing the well-respected Dr. Lucas would say anything to protect the reputation of his family. She recoiled, stumbling back until she bumped into the chair behind her. He sedated me, I went on, remembering it still. The prick of the needle, the cold table, the shame as he poked and prodded a part of my body that made me tremble with revulsion. He examined me. Then he lied.
How would I know that?
She whispered, her eyes so strikingly blue in her pale face. You knew, I said flatly. I remember your face afterward, when you told me he wasn't coming back and to never bring it up again. You could barely look at me. But when you did, I saw it in your eyes. I looked at Ava. She was crying, with her arms wrapped tight around herself. My eyes stung, but she was the one who wept for me. Did you think Chris would leave you? I wondered aloud. Did you think it was too much for your new family to take? For years I thought you told him. I heard you mention Dr. Lucas to him. But Chris didn't know. Tell me what reason a wife would have to keep something like that from her husband. My mother didn't speak. Just shook her head over and over, as if that silent denial answered everything. My fist hit my desk, rattling everything on top of it.
Say something!
You're wrong. Wrong. It's all twisted up for you. You don't...
She shook her head again.
It didn't happen that way. You're confused.
Ava stared at my mother's back with a visible, heated rage. Loathing tightened her mouth and jaw. It hit me, then, that I could let her carry that burden for me. I had to put it down. I didn't need it anymore. Didn't want it. I had done the same for her in a different sense, with Nathan. The action I'd taken had chased the shadows from her eyes. They lived in me now, as they should. She'd been haunted by them long enough. My chest expanded on a deep, slow breath. When I let it out, all the anger and disgust went with it. I stood there for a long moment, absorbing the dizzying lightness I felt. There was grief, a profound anguish that burned in my chest, and resignation, a clarifying, terrible acceptance. But it weighed on me so much less than the desperate hope I'd harbored, that one day my mother would love me enough to accept the truth. That hope was dead. I cleared my throat. Let's end this. I won't be going to see Corinne, and I won't apologize for telling the truth. I'm done with that. My mother didn't move for a long moment. Then she turned away from me without a word and walked to the door. A moment more, and she was gone, lost on the other side of the frosted glass. I looked at Ava. She started toward me, and I went to her, rounding my desk to meet her part way. She hugged me so tightly I could hardly breathe. But I didn't need air. I had her.
13. As I straightened Gideon's bow tie, I asked, "Are you sure you're okay?" He caught my wrists and applied steady, solid pressure. The familiar authoritative grip spurred a conditioned response. It grounded me, heightened my awareness of him, of me, of us. My breathing quickened.
"Stop asking."
His voice was soft.
"I'm fine."
When a woman says she's fine, it means she's anything but.
"I'm not a woman."
"Duh." A hint of a smile softened his mouth.
"And when a man says he's fine, it means he is."
He pressed a quick, hard kiss to my forehead and released me. Then he went to the drawer that held his cufflinks and studied the selection thoughtfully. Gideon was long and lean in his bespoke trousers and white formal shirt. He had on black socks, but his shoes and jacket were still waiting their turn to grace his body. There was something about seeing him in that partially dressed state that turned me on wildly. It was an intimacy that was mine alone, and I cherished it. I was reminded of what Dr. Peterson had said. Maybe I'd have to spend some nights sleeping apart from my husband. Not forever, but for now. Still, I had these other precious pieces of him, and they sustained me. A man? What about my man? I countered, working hard not to get distracted by how hot he looked. The problem was his distance. There wasn't a trace of the razor-sharp focus on me that I was used to. Part of his mind was somewhere else, and I worried that it was a dark place where he shouldn't be alone.
"That's the only one I care about." "Angel, you've been telling me to have it out with my mother for months. I've done it. It's over and behind us."
"How do you feel about it, though?" "It has to hurt, Gideon. Please don't hide it from me if it does." His fingers drummed into the top of the built-in dresser, his gaze still focused on his damned cufflinks.
"It hurts, okay? But I knew it would. That's why I put it off so long. But it's better this way. I feel... fuck. It's settled."
My lips pursed. Because I wanted him to look at me when he was saying stuff like that. I untied my robe and let the silk whisper off my shoulders. I turned away to hang it by the closet door, stepping over Lucky, who'd passed out right in the middle of the floor. I arched my back as I reached for the hook, giving Gideon a prime view of the ass he loved. As I had come to expect of my husband, he'd gifted me with a new dress for the occasion, a gorgeous dove-gray gown with a beaded bodice and lightly layered diaphanous skirt that drifted like smoke when I moved. Because of the plunging neckline, which I knew from experience would bring out his inner caveman, I'd chosen a bra designed to put my boobs on display. Together with the matching underwear, smoky eyes, and glossy lips, I looked like expensive sex. When I faced him again, my husband was just how I wanted him, frozen in place with his eyes on me. "I need you to promise me something, Ace." He raked me from head to toe with a scorching glance.
"At the moment, I'll promise you anything."
"Just this moment?" I pouted. He muttered something and walked over to me, cupping my face in his hands. Finally, he was with me, 100%.
And the next after that.
His gaze caressed my face.
"What do you need, angel mine?"
I caught him by the hips, searched his eyes. "You. Just you. Happy and whole and madly in love with me." The elegant arch of his brows lifted slightly, as if being happy seemed like a dubious proposition. "You're so sad. It's killing me." A soft sigh left him, and I watched the tension drain away with it.
"I don't know why I wasn't better prepared. She's incapable of accepting what happened. If she can't do it to save her marriage, she sure as hell won't do it for me."
"There's something missing in her, Gideon. Something essential. Don't you dare believe this has anything to do with you." His mouth twisted wryly.
"Between her and my dad? Not the greatest gene pool, is it?"
Sliding my fingers into the tailored waistband of his trousers, I yanked him closer. "Listen, Ace, your parents both buckled under pressure and put themselves first. Reality is something they can't face. But guess what? You didn't get any of their flaws. Not a single one."
"Ava."
"You, Gideon Jeffrey Cross, are the distillation of what's best about them. Individually, they don't amount to much. But together, man, did they hit it out of the park with you." Shaking his head, he said,
"I don't need this, Ava."
"I'm not bullshitting you. You don't have any problem with reality. You face it head on and tackle that bitch to the ground." He huffed out a laugh. "You've got a right to be hurt and pissed, Gideon. I'm pissed, too. They're not worthy of you. That doesn't make you less, it makes you more. I wouldn't have married you if you weren't a good man, someone I respect and admire. You inspire me. Don't you know that?" His hand slid through my hair to my nape.
"Angel."
His forehead touched mine. I caressed his back, feeling the warm, hard muscle beneath his shirt. "Grieve if you have to. But don't close up and blame yourself. I won't let you."
"No, you won't."
He nudged my head back and kissed the tip of my nose.
"Thank you."
"You don't have to thank me for anything."
"You were right. I needed to get it out and confront her. I never would have if not for you."
"You don't know that." Gideon looked at me with such love my breath caught.
"Yes, I do."
His smartphone chimed with an incoming text. He pressed his lips to my forehead, then moved to the dresser to read the message.
"Raoul's on his way with Carrie."
"I better get dressed then. I need you to fasten me up."
"Always my pleasure."
Pulling the gown off its hanger, I stepped into it and slid my arms into the heavily beaded straps. My husband made quick work of the hook-and-eye fastening that rested just above the small of my back. I watched in the full-length mirror, biting my lower lip as the bodice tightened and settled into place where I'd thought it would. The neckline plunged to a spot halfway between my cleavage and my navel. It was outrageously sexy, the kind of revealing style smaller-breasted women pulled off easily. On me, it was risqué, although the rest of the gown covered everything except my back and arms. I decided against jewelry to tone down the effect as much as I could. Still, it was a beautiful dress, and we were a young couple. We could pull it off. Gideon's gaze met mine in the mirror. I gave him my best innocent look and waited for him to see how much of my assets he'd put on display. The storm started brewing, with a faint line between his brows that quickly progressed into a full-on scowl. He tugged at the straps from the back. "Is there a problem?" I asked sweetly. His gaze narrowed. Reaching around with both hands, he slid his fingers into my cleavage and tried pushing my breasts apart to hide the curves beneath the thick straps. I hummed and leaned against him. Taking my shoulders, he straightened me up so he could study the fit.
"It didn't look like that in the photo."
Deliberately misunderstanding him, I told him, "I haven't put my heels on yet. It won't drag on the ground when I do."
"I'm not worried about the bottom,"
he said tightly.
"We need to put something in that middle part."
"Why would we do that?"
"You know damned well why."
He prowled over to the dresser and yanked a drawer open. A moment later, he came back and thrust a white handkerchief toward me.
"Put that in there."
I laughed. "Oh my God, you're kidding." But he wasn't. Reaching around from behind me, he shoved the unfolded cloth into my bodice, tucking it into either side. "No," I told him crossly. "That looks ridiculous." When his hands fell away, I gave him a second to see how stupid it looked. "Forget it. I'll wear something else."
"Yeah,"
he agreed, nodding and shoving his hands in his pockets. I tugged the handkerchief out.
"Something like this,"
he murmured. Sparks of fire shot out of his hands as he reached over my head and wrapped a dazzling diamond choker around my neck. At least 2 inches wide, it hugged the base of my throat and glittered as if it lit from within. "Gideon." I touched it with trembling fingers as he fastened it securely. "It's gorgeous." His arms wrapped around my waist, his lips touching my temple.
"You're gorgeous. The necklace is just pretty."
I turned in his embrace and looked up at him. "Thank you." The quick flash of his smile made my toes curl into the carpet. Smiling back, I said, "I thought you were serious about my boobs."
"Angel, I take your tits very seriously. So tonight, when someone ogles them, they'll realize you're much too expensive and they couldn't possibly afford you."
I smacked his shoulder. "Shut up!" He grabbed my hand and pulled me to the dresser. He reached into the open drawer and pulled out a diamond cuff. I watched, stunned, as he slid it around my wrist. That was followed by a velvet box, which he opened to show me the diamond teardrop earrings inside.
"You should put these on yourself."
I gaped at them, then at him. Gideon just smiled.
"You're priceless. The necklace alone wasn't going to get the message across."
Staring at him, I couldn't find the words to say anything. My silence turned his smile into a wicked grin.
"When we get home, I'm going to fuck you while you're wearing diamonds and nothing else."
The erotic image that popped into my mind sent a shiver through me. Catching my shoulders, he turned me around and swatted my ass.
"You look sensational, from every angle. Now stop distracting me and let me get ready."
I grabbed my sparkly heels off the shoe rack and left the closet, more dazzled by my husband than by the jewels he'd given me.
"You look like $1 million.
Carrie pulled back from my hug and checked me out.
"Actually, I think you're wearing $1 million.
Jesus,
I was so blinded by your bling, I almost missed that you'd let your girls come out and play."
"That's Gideon's point," I said dryly, giving a turn to set the skirt of my gown drifting around my legs. You, of course, are gorgeous. He gave me his famous bad boy grin. I know. I had to laugh. I thought most men looked good in a tuxedo. Carrie, however, looked amazing, very dapper, like a Rock Hudson or Cary Grant. The combination of his roguish charm and stunning good looks made him irresistible. He'd put on a little weight. Not enough to change his clothing size, but enough to fill out his face a little more. He looked good and healthy, which was rarer than it should be. Gideon, on the other hand, was more 007, lethally sexy with a refined edge of danger. He entered the living room and I could only stare helplessly, riveted by the graceful elegance of his chiseled body, that easy, commanding stride which hinted at how amazing he was in bed. Mine, all mine.
I put Lucky in his crate,
he said, joining us.
We ready?
Carrie gave a decisive nod.
Let's hit it.
We took the elevator down to the garage where Angus waited with the limo. I climbed in first and chose the long bench, knowing Carrie would sit beside me while Gideon took his usual seat in the back. I'd had so little time with Carrie lately. Fashion Week had kept him super busy, and since I was spending the nights at the penthouse, we didn't even have a chance for quick chats in the evening or coffee in the morning. Carrie looked at Gideon and gestured at the bar before we rolled out.
You mind?
Help yourself.
Either of you want something?
I considered. Kingsman and cranberry, please.
Gideon shot me a warm look.
I'll have the same.
Carrie poured and served, then sat back with a beer and took a deep pull straight out of the bottle.
So, he began, I'm flying to London next week for a shoot.
Really? I sat forward. That's wonderful, Carrie. Your first international job.
Yeah.
He smiled into his beer, then looked at me.
I'm stoked.
Wow. Everything has happened so fast for you. A few months ago, we'd still been living in San Diego. You're going to take the world by storm. I managed a smile. I was truly, genuinely happy for my best friend. But I could picture a time in the not-so-distant future when we'd both be so busy and traveling so often we would rarely see each other. It made my eyes sting to think of it. We were closing a chapter of our lives, and I mourned a little for the end. Even knowing that the best was yet to come for both of us. Carrie raised his bottle in a silent toast.
That's the plan.
How's Tatiana? His smile grew tight, his eyes hard.
She says she's dating someone. She moves quick when she sees something she likes. Always has.
Are you okay with that?
No.
He started peeling the label off his beer bottle.
Some dude's blowing his load where my baby is. I think that's sick.
He glanced at Gideon.
Can you imagine?
No one wants me imagining that,
he answered, in that even tone that screamed danger.
Right? It's fucked up. But I can't stop her, and I'm not getting back together with her, so it is what it is.
God. I reached for his hand and held it. That's tough. I'm sorry.
We're being civil to each other, he said with a shrug. She's less of a bitch when she's getting laid regularly.
So you guys are talking a lot?
I check in with her every day, make sure she's got what she needs. Told her I was good for whatever. Except my dick, of course.
He heaved out his breath.
It's depressing. Without sex, we really don't have anything to say to each other. So we talk about work. We've got that in common, at least.
Did you tell her about London?
Hell no. Carrie squeezed my hand. Had to tell my best girl first. I'll tell her tomorrow.
I debated bringing up the question, but I couldn't help myself. And Trey? Anything there?
Not really. I send him a text or a photo every couple days. Stupid shit. Stuff I'd send you.
So no dick pics? I teased.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to keep it real with him. He thinks I'm oversexed, which he totally doesn't mind when he's in bed with me, but whatever. I send him something every now and then, and he